Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer. I am delighted to be with you today, and also delighted to be with my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Dorothy, how are you?
Great, Steve. Really glad to be here.
Yes, we're wrapping up this month's theme of goodwill. It's been interesting, right? Just so much in the world going on that has made us think about goodwill. What is the nature of goodwill? How can we bring that into our lives? And how can we see a world that actually appears to be thriving as a result of goodwill? So today's theme is going to be, the subject rather of the show is going to be goodwill as an agent of change. And interestingly enough, Dorothy, just before I logged on, I got an email from the Heart Math Institute, which I know we both love. And they sent me an email, and the first few sentences said, "Are you feeling it? Today's normal seems to include doing more with less and having to adapt on the fly. It seems as if time sped up and rapid change is our constant companion."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think so.
Absolutely. And what's critical from the perspective of this show is that goodwill is fundamental to change. It is the, if we want positive change, if we want change that is focused on the common good, because it is the determination to establish relationships, to nurture relationships that connect us to each other and that are for the greater good.
Yes.
You know, Steve, I've been struck this last little while by trying to understand what it is that is disturbing about what's been going on in the U.S. political environment. And it just struck me that what we're seeing is a very stark contrast between two approaches that we don't necessarily always see as clearly. One of them is the transactional approach, and President Trump has been referred to as a transactional president. You know, he's used to doing commercial transactions. But when you really think about, you know, what does that mean? It means that you're always acting with an expectation of getting something back, and you're acting generally in the context of a zero-sum game. If you get something, then it means that I'm losing something. And so the focus is always on getting as much or potentially more than the other person. And the evaluation is always from that perspective of self-interest, of what am I getting? And we see that really well articulated in some of the ways that President Trump talks about America first. So the trade relationships are good only if the positive trade balance is in the direction of the United States as opposed to somebody else. And we can contrast that with a relational approach, which is, I think, what you were starting out the show with, where we act in order to advance the common good. We act out of mutual interest. And so we're trying to identify what's going to work for us and what's going to work for others, not just what's going to work for us. And so we focus on what can we contribute, and we evaluate how this is working for others as well as how it's working for us. And that's really what underlies, you know, on the political landscape, multilateral agreements, you know, or group projects. Many nonprofits, you know, like the ones that you and I are in are group projects there that are trying to bring this general sense of a positive environment. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And, you know, self-interest, that is when you say transactional approach, there does seem to be a, you know, at least with President Trump, what are you getting out of it and what am I getting out of it? But then it becomes just a game of who can get more. And even using, you think of Twitter, which has become this, you know, this is the way we connect with our president, which is only a back and forth that has no relationship. You can only react to a statement. You don't have any kind of exchange or dialogue. And it's even within Twitter, you see when a world event happens, I think of the terrorist attack that happened in England and his direct response, which was really quite literally, what can I get out of this? How can I use this situation to become better for me, that I can push my agenda? Whereas a relational right. approach would have been to be a leader and relate to this, you know, a people who were in pain, who were seeking, you know, a leader, a true leader, you know, and
right.
some resolve.
Which is the way the U.S. ambassador responded,
yes.
in terms of compassion and also support for what was going on. So we really see starkly this difference between the zero-sum game approach and the expand the pie, if you will. You know that
right.
it really relates back for me to that theme of my trilogy. You know of enough for us all. There is always enough for us all, but not if we approach it from the zero-sum game. So I think, you know, that helps, at least for me, it helps to show why it is that goodwill, which is that relational approach, is absolutely fundamental to change. It has the goodness of heart, the kindness in action, the consideration for others. Those are all more emotional or mental approaches, but it also requires action. And that to me is so important, that we need to be actively doing something to move forward this sense of our interconnectedness and of the whole.
Well, exactly. And there is a ripple effect then that happens. You know, there is an impact felt from goodwill. And it ripples and reverberates, and everybody feels that indeed. Yeah, it's. I find that mindfulness is a really an aspect of goodwill. You know, it fosters an alignment with our intentions. And I think of intention as being very important to goodwill, in that we have to have a clarity of purpose. We have to really set out that. This group work is my endeavor. My intention is for the greater good, and come to an understanding that we are a part of something bigger. And that comes from, you know, alignment and from really putting yourself out there and seeing the effects of goodwill, putting it out and seeing what happens in the end, that positive change actually happens. And I change is consistent. I mean, it is. We talked about that, I believe, on the second month, and as a part of the humanities section, that change is completely consistent. It is the world is constantly evolving, and we are right there with it. And as it evolves, we get new desires, and those desires create intention. And then we add will to it, and that adds force, and then that creates change, that creates a new action. So as you say, it always comes from an action. I go back to the word will that is in goodwill or ill will, because that seems to be that force and that action that moves us into a different direction. Mm-hmm. The word will always comes forward to me when I think of that, in terms of keep bringing up this idea of mass action to promote human welfare. I'd love to, we're going to go to a break in a second, but I'd love to talk a little bit about quantum physics. We've talked about it in the past, this idea of relation. Really, it inspired me to do a little bit of research into Lynn McTaggart, and she's a really wonderful author, and she has written a number of books which are a bridge between science and spirituality. And she says that thoughts generate frequencies, and that these frequencies hold an intention, and they are actually well-ordered light. So as we have clarity of thought, we are generating a frequency that is of a high vibration. So she's done all of these studies that prove that our intentions, which are actually highly coherent frequencies, can change the molecular makeup or the bonding of matter. So they actually change our physical body. She's written lots of books about how the mind and intentions can heal and change the body. So it makes me think of us as being part of the one life and of a greater body. And that so much of it is about how we think about other people, how we respond to other people and the world. And that then will generate the change that it is really comes down to our intentions. So we'll go to a break and we come back. Dorothy, I'd love it if we could just spend a little bit of time talking about relationship and that the ways that the macro reflects the micro and the quantum space between us as a way to change. Was that a full sentence or what?
That sounds fascinating, Steve.
You're like, go with it. Take it. It's yours. Just after this break, we'll come back.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with pride.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Sun Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Sun Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Before we talk a little bit more about goodwill and change, I thought we would introduce ourselves and tell you a little bit about our two organizations that are collaborating for this project called Spirit Fire Radio. Dorothy, do you want to start?
Sure, Steve. So I'm Dorothy Riddle, and I'm with the School for Esoteric Studies. And the school provides esoteric training, discipleship training for persons who are interested in developing a spiritual discipline and being world servers. And we do that through study, meditation, and service. And I think we're going to be talking a little bit today, right, Steve, about what discipleship means, so that that's not just a word that's hanging out there. But you can find out more about the school at esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Beautiful. Yeah, so much information at that website. Listeners, definitely check that out. And Spirit Fire is the organization that I am here representing. And we are an educational nonprofit as well. We have our own meditation program called The Practice of Living Awareness and lots of online programs that help you integrate spirituality into your life in very practical ways. We do online courses based in ageless wisdom, all on consciousness building. So you can check out more about Spirit Fire at spiritfire.com. I'm coming to you from Spirit Fire Retreat Center. We have a lovely retreat center in Western Massachusetts. And hope to see some of you New Englanders here sometime or otherwise. So Dorothy, before we went to the break, just a little bit about quantum physics, because I knew we were going to get into relationship and the building relationships as a way of building goodwill. And Lynn McTaggart came across my screen, and I just sort of dove into this idea of quantum reality. And she talks about the zero-point field, which is we once thought of empty space as just empty. And we've proved now that it is a hive of activity and it's an interaction of subatomic particles. So it's energy being sent back and forth all the time, like a tennis game. So these subatomic particles are actually waves and they encode information, and these waves go on forever. And the universe, it's the mechanism by which the universe is totally connected. So what she says that in conclusion is that there's no underlying one thing. There's no one underlying reality, but only the space between things. So everything is a trade of energy. And she says, quote, matter, bodies, things that we heal, everything in the universe can be reduced to an X plus a Y. And that can be reduced to a relationship. So basically, she's saying that everything in manifest form is an X or a Y, and that relationship becomes matter. That becomes the thing. And it made me think that this whole universe is really so much about relationship. And I know in esoteric healing, we are taking points of energies and we are relating them. I teach a form of energy medicine called energy healing, and it's clearing away the distortions. It's like spring cleaning and throwing out all those old magazines you don't read anymore that are just taking up space, so that energy points X and Y can relate again with clarity. And it's that space in between that holds the clarity of information. So it's about how do we relate to each other? How do points of energy relate? And that the space between us is actually what creates the future. It's what manifests. Does that make sense? Am I saying that clearly? I know you've done you have done so much work on quantum physics. I'm always trying to sort of unfold it and make it simple in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with part of what you said, Steve, but my understanding is slightly different. We are ourselves waveforms. we participate in that whole energetic structure, and we have, if you think about the universe, one of the ways of thinking about it is that there is this energy. You talk about the will energy, that, you know, the force that creates, and there, the relational aspect of that is important. It's not the only aspect of it, and so we have. To me, what's more important, or what is also a useful perspective, is that we exist in a probabilistic space. We don't exist in a cause, the kind of linear cause and effect space that we're used to thinking of. But there are many, many possibilities. And what precipitates the actual is what we notice, what our intention is. And there are many options that could precipitate that are in that very rich 0-point field. But what comes out relates to what our intention is and what we notice. We create reality in that sense.
Yes, and I see it in a way as our intention and all of those possibilities as we connect from ourselves to that intention, that possibility, that is what creates our reality. Does that sentence make sense? It is what unfolds.
It's almost like the intention
evolving.
Is outside ourselves. I don't think of it as outside ourselves. It's us that's happening.
Yes.
We have, and part of what... I'm going to bring in the concept of discipleship because we wanted to clarify that. Part of what we're doing in discipleship studies is learning how to exist in a way that is energetically clear, that energetically does not have distortion, which is part of what you were referring to also. And so we can think of a disciple is a person who has committed to a discipline that shifts their focus from individual desire to advancing the good of the whole, you know, to recognizing this interconnection and the importance of that, has committed to a life of goodwill, if you will. They don't need to call themselves disciples. They don't need to belong to a particular tradition. And from that perspective, it's important to me that people recognize that it's not a group that you join. It's not like a fraternity that you say, oh, you know, I'm going to be part of that group. We already are. We already are part of the one life, but it's acknowledging what our role is and what we can contribute. And developing that, we talked about this before, that moral compass, that sense of what it is that really is in the common good.
Yes. Does the word discipline comes out as well when I think of disciple? Mm-hmm. that in a way it is about clearing away that which is not necessary, or clearing away distortions. You know, I think of a disciple as one who is quite focused and that the intention is quite clear in their actions.
Mm-hmm. And so we have, in both of our organizations, we have that triad of focus in developing discipline: the meditation practice to develop that ability to connect with the energetic one life without any distortion, the study, which is that continuous learning of what the one life is all about, the nature of the cosmos, and then service, which is living out that truth that we are all interconnected, we are all part of the one life, and that we need to find ways to greet each other with respect and compassion, as opposed to creating these us-them differentiations.
Right. I love that you said that there are disciples who wouldn't necessarily call themselves disciples, because I think when you hear that word, it does bring forward, and it can have the potential of bringing forward, am I a disciple? Am I not a disciple? That a disciple is somebody who is, has achieved some level, right? And mm-hmm. I appreciate what you said. I think that, again, the soul makes a conscious choice, as I would put it, to become an agent of the one life when the soul chooses to incarnate. And perhaps someone is living a life that is very clear and connected to the life of their soul. And that person would be a disciple, although they may not consider themselves to be a spiritual person in the terms that they would use, but in that they are connected, very connected to their soul's purpose. They are in fact leading a spiritual life. And I'm sure one could say would perhaps include those meditation, study, and purpose and service. And then there's those who actually perhaps the soul made a clear conscious choice to be an agent of the one life. And some of us just get lost along the way and come back. And then it's a process of sort of being more disciplined and clearing away those distortions and leading a life that is aligned with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. And I'd like to take a moment to clarify one other thing, because just as some people get the idea that a spiritual discipline or a spiritual tradition is something that you join, there's also this idea that some people are more special than others. They're initiates. It's often described or depicted as, they got this rod of initiation tapped on them, and so now they can go forward in some kind of special way. But in actuality, the term initiation is used to, in the ageist wisdom anyway, to refer to a time of celebration of expanded awareness, and with that expanded awareness comes increased responsibility. So it means, it's like moving from childhood into adulthood, that we're now held accountable in a new way. We now have new responsibilities. Well, that's what the initiation process is about, is acknowledging that we are now in a position where we can be more responsible for our actions and for the energy that we put out, for how we behave towards others and towards the world.
Yes, indeed. Some people have the idea that as soon as you are initiated into sort of, in a sense, a group, you're in and the work is done. With that concept of initiation, once you are initiated or you have reached a level of initiation, right, your responsibilities become greater and the impact of your actions are felt in a stronger way, actually reverberate. So therefore, mm-hmm. greater responsibility is necessary. Well, we're at a break, Dorothy. When we come back, I know you wanted to talk a bit about formal goodwill initiatives, ways certain organizations have created ways to bring goodwill into the world. And I look forward to talking about that after the break.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We're talking about goodwill and ways that goodwill initiates change. It becomes an agent of change. And there are several organizations, such good work happening on this planet Earth, that have goodwill initiatives in place already. Dorothy, do you want to mention a couple of those?
Yeah, I want to start out with one that some people may not have heard of, which is the United Religions Initiative, which when I heard the executive director speak about this, what he said was that this grew out of a recognition at a time when an anniversary of the United Nations was being celebrated, a recognition that while nations had been working towards peace, sometimes successfully, sometimes less successfully, the religions of the world really hadn't done much in terms of cooperating and working together. So the idea behind the United Religions Initiative, as I understand it, is to create these cooperation circles that have persons from at least three different traditions in them, and to use processes like appreciative inquiry, you know, where you're trying to learn what it is like to be the other person, to come from their perspective. And then the cooperation circles work together on community issues. And there have been some really dramatic successes in terms of addressing issues related to violence and poverty at community levels. So that's one. And you can find it at URI.org, United Religions Initiative. Then there are two others that come out of Lucius Trust, which is the group responsible for the work of Alice Bailey. And one of them is called World Goodwill, and it has many components. It has a meditation arm. It does work through the United Nations or in conjunction with the United Nations. And you can find, if you Google World Goodwill, Lucius Trust, you can find that initiative. And Lucius Trust is also responsible for the Triangles Initiative, which is three persons working together meditatively with the idea that the triangle is the strongest shape because the force is evenly distributed. And I think that leads into some other ideas that you had, Steve, that you wanted to share.
Yes, I love the Lucis Trust Triangles Project, and I'm actually involved in that, and I've got several triangles that I am a part of. And it is simply three people that agree to link together in thought each day and using a similar invocation and visualizing light and goodwill circulating throughout these three points. It's actually very similar to the work we do in esoteric healing, where we've got three points and we are creating a resonance between those three points. And if you see a graphic of the Lucis Trust, if you go to their website, which I believe is lucistrust.org, it's L-U-C-I-S, the image they show is looks like the biodome, or it is a tensegrity structure, which is, excuse me, a lot of the listeners, I'm sure you have seen an image of a dome that is shaped by triangles, and it's called a tensegrity structure, and they've got that image on their website in reference to this triangle project. And I just love the idea of tensegrity. It was created by Buckminster Fuller and a sculptor whose name is Kenneth Nelson. And if you've seen the U.S. Pavilion at the Montreal 67 World Fair, it's a huge geodesic dome. And they've made tensegrity bridges. So tensegrity is it's a structural network. And it's, to read their definition, it says a structural system composed of discontinuous compression elements connected by continuous tension cables, which interact in a dynamic fashion. So what that means is you've got poles and points that once you touch one, all of that force or motion is omnidirectional. All of the points, it gets spread out. Any kind of force is spread out in a nonlinear pattern. So it travels throughout the entire system. So the whole system simultaneously adapts to any force that's introduced to it. So I kind of like to think of it as humanity being a tensegrity system in the perfect world, where we all are a part of this system that can move with each other, that can absorb force introduced and spread that out so that we all do our part and that the structure of the system is sound. And what's interesting about these systems is they conduct vibrational energy, they conduct sound and light. We actually have them in our body, a tensegrity system, and science is finding more and more about this. It's actually this tissue matrix system, which allows information to travel from cell to cell. So we're starting to see how even our physical body is kind of like this geodesic dome in a way, and it is this structure that receives force or information or impact, and it's spread instantaneously throughout the entire system. So it brings forward that idea of non-linear, you know, that we are, everything is happening all at once, and that we are completely interdependent upon each other. So I sort of love that idea of a tensegrity system, and I see goodwill as working toward that each person is doing its part. Each person gives and receives, and we all feel it at the same time. There's not one aspect of that that gets more or less, and each aspect is dependent on the other to keep the system whole.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those pictures, Dorothy, of the
geodesic? Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I love it. And it underscores a couple of the principles that we've talked about. You've mentioned non-linearity, which is a really important principle. There are many ways in which we get caught in a linear, in thinking about our lives and our functions in a linear fashion. The interdependence of it, I love that. And again, it underscores the interconnectivity, which is, you know, we are all part of a living whole.
Yes. And in a sense, it reminds me of the quantum again, that one aspect is felt, ripples throughout the entirety of the system. So if you think of this of the universe as a system, it's like on a tensegrity structure. If you pluck one part of the structure, the entire thing vibrates instantaneously. It's not as if it spreads. The whole thing consistently and instantaneously vibrates. So I sort of see that as that we're all a part of this sort of waveform.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we are literally waveforms. We think of ourselves as being solid, but we are waveforms. And there's another concept in quantum physics that you've just described, non-local connectivity, that something that happens in one place is connected to and influences activities or parts that are not directly connected. And so, that's a process that you're describing.
When you go back to what you were saying at the beginning of the show, talking about the difference between transactional approach or relational approach, you can see that within this tensegrity structure, which is a relational approach, interesting things happen. It's like the whole system absorbs impact and is not damaged. Nobody loses. And they even find within these physical structures, when you build them, that weak materials become stronger than you would predict, than they have shown before. So just being a part of this system that is working together, the actual material of the parts become stronger because they are a whole. So I find that to be, again, sort of poetic as this idea. If we really come to learn to live as a community and as a humanity and an equal part of this greater whole, then, we're stronger. And it becomes about the way that we receive and release force or will, goodwill.
I would agree. And what I was just thinking about is what happens when transactional intersects with relational. Can somebody coming from a self-absorbed transactional linear zero-sum game perspective, do they ultimately get absorbed into the relational whole? Can they damage the relational whole in some way, in some permanent fashion? I'm not sure where to go with that, Steve. But
right, because I see it visually, I would think, yes, they would actually at some point, as soon as the ripple got to them, they would want to disconnect. They would want to find a way to have all the ripple come to them and not go out anywhere else if they perceived it as good and something that they wanted,
Well, and that gets back to, in the Ageless Wisdom, the criticism that is made of humanity is that we take and we don't give back. We stop the flow.
Yes, indeed.
Which is exactly what you were just describing.
Yeah. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, let's sort of wrap this up and talk about how we can function through goodwill and some practices that would help us generate goodwill. And I think that will lead us into our next month's theme. So we'll talk about that after this break.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuOS.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature, or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness meditation retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Justice Welling. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back. Just before the break, Dorothy and I were talking a little bit about structures, about the transfer of energy. And we've been talking about that from the beginning, right, Dorothy? That we are these structures, human beings who transfer energy. I think about right action and right speech and hope and all of the themes we've covered thus far really are about how do we transfer energy from one to another. And we would hope that it's with, again, it's from the heart, and that it's with the intention for kindness and for consideration and goodness, generating goodwill. So what would you say? How do we do that, Dorothy?
Well, I think part of the clue is being aware of how we function when we feel safe, when we feel that we can trust the people around us, you know, when we're in our most intimate friendships, and we are caring, we are compassionate, we are curious about the other person, we are supportive of them. We may not agree with them on everything, but we usually keep an open mind to try to understand where they're coming from. And that is the way of relating that we then want to ripple out to people that we don't know as well, to people that we may have stereotypes about. And one of the things that's become important to me, Steve, is to think about the fact that from a spiritual perspective, there's a lot of focus on what I think of as vertical integration. Vertical is a misnomer because it's multi, or omnidirectional. But we think about how to integrate our physical and emotional and mental bodies. We think about how we connect with however we name the other aspects of the one life. And that's a very internal process. We don't give as much attention, I think, from a formal perspective, on our horizontal relationships, which is really where service and goodwill exist. And that is, you know, how do we relate to everyone, not just the people it's easy to relate to, but everyone that we're connected with, which is everyone. Some of that's going to be in a more tough love type context, but I think we tend to cut off. When we relate in terms of goodwill to persons that we don't know as well, it's a very abstract kind of a feeling. It's not necessarily a practical action. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. We think of a sort of aspiring, and the vertical is about aspiring to spirit or to higher self. But it's really comes back to what you said, that it was so important in this conversation, and that it's about action. So that's all wonderful, the vertical, but it's what do you do with that? You know, I always think of I'm here in this incarnation. I've got a personality and a body. Well, how do I serve with that? What do I do with it? And that becomes my relationships. You know, what do I build from my relationships? Not only my relationship to spirit and myself, but my relationship to my passions, my relationship to the people, that I cross on the street, my relationship to my family, and what are we building? What are the people I'm co-creating with? What are we building? And that is, I agree, that is the horizontal path of what am I manifesting, you know, and what am I putting out in the world on a daily basis? It's important, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking, we were talking before about waves. One of the things that I can lose track of, but that I know is important, is that energy ebbs and flows. You know, you can think of like the ocean. You know, the tide rushes in and then it goes back. And every aspect of our life has that kind of energetic ebb and flow. We talk about it in different ways. We talk about it in meditation in terms of interludes. We talk about, when people are more present or less present. And it's not that we can't do things at the ebb, but if we really want something to work well, we need to be ready to catch. The people that are on surfboards, you know, or sailboats, you catch the wind, you catch the wave, and you ride it. So being able to think about our work, not just in a kind of a plod, 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 but how do we prepare to take advantage of when that wave, that crest of energy is available, and then ride it. That's part of what we do when we do full moon meditations. But I think in our practical life, we can apply the same principle.
And it's a bit of what this month of June is about, correct? And
yes.
In the Festival of Goodwill, we are sort of at the peak of the wave with much available to us. So making the most of that wonderful time to be contemplating those subjects. Well, Dorothy, we just got a couple minutes left, and I thought it would be really wonderful to tell people a bit about next month. We're going to talk about harmlessness, because really that is the first step toward becoming an integrated part of this whole, this sort of like structure that we were talking about, is it's harmlessness. If we're going to be cohesive, a cohesive whole and symbiotic, we've really got to understand give and take and not be one. Learn how to live harmlessly. And that is such a big subject. There's so much we perhaps would go unnoticed that is actually harmful. You've taught me so much about that in your some of the books you've written, really amazing. Harmlessness is the key. So next month, we're going to talk about that. A few words in the last minute.
I think it's really interesting to remember that we are in many ways very young still as a human family, and just like parents childproof a house, I think one of the things that the One Life tries to do is to keep us from hurting ourselves and others. But we need to take charge of that, and that is part of how I think about next month, is how do we proactively become harmless in the way in which we think and act and speak to others.
And to ourselves, right? You mentioned that, which is so important to ourselves and others. Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's going to be great. I look so forward to it. That will be the whole month of July. We'll be talking about harmlessness. So we look forward to that. We'll be back next week with our first show on harmlessness. Dorothy, thanks for the very juicy discussion about goodwill. Listeners, check us out at spiritfireradio.com. And Dorothy, I look forward to being with you next week.
Me too, Steve. It's been great.
Right. All right. Bye
thanks
for now.
Thanks to our listeners.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living in practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.